I don't know where everyone went, but they're going to miss a great session. You're going to hear about my experience getting to this comprehensive financial planning process, which has been so incredible in my career, I can't tell you. When I got home from a mission back when I was 21, I met with a financial advisor, sat down with him. He happened to be with the same firm that I'm at right now. And he was so good. He would educate me, and he'd help me understand the markets, and he'd help me understand just details and nuances. Even though I knew I didn't have a lot of money to invest, he took the time with me to educate me, and that really impressed me. It was Bill Jepson. And I really wanted to become a financial advisor because he inspired me from that point on. And so I tried to join the firm that I'm at right now, and they wouldn't take me because they only took on experienced individuals. And so I went out there and found a big, large insurance company, like many of us had done, and got a lot of experience, worked there for 3 years, and learned how to sell products and work with clients and cold call and do all that kind of stuff. And I was really trained on sales skills and just gimmicks and things to get people to say yes. And it was kind of fun, and we had the ideal of taking on 100 clients a year. And I really didn't feel like my clients respected me. I didn't feel like I was adding a lot of value to them. And I found that my phone was ringing a lot. I mean, just being in my office after 3 years of doing that, my phone would ring every half hour of the day, or sometimes even more. My phone rings today maybe once a day. And it's an incredible feeling because I can get stuff done. And so after kind of thinking about what I wanted to do for my career, I thought, I signed up to be a financial advisor, but I don't feel like a financial advisor. I feel like a salesman. I feel like an insurance agent, and I don't think I get the respect as a financial advisor. And so I went to some workshops to kind of learn what else was out there, and I was driven back to the original firm that I was had my original financial advisor. And they were willing to hire me at the time, even though I was young and I was only 20, 23, 24 years old. And they took a chance on me because I was the type of person that I just kept calling them until they're like, fine, you can join us type of situation. And that's how I was on the cold calling. I just would call until I could get an appointment. And so, I joined the firm, and the firm I'm with right now supports the comprehensive planning process. Joined a firm that was, we had probably 80 different advisors at the time that were just, the goal was is to see who could get the biggest fee check. They would go up to your window and say, look at this fee. And then every month we'd have this session and say, well, Stevan Gates had the biggest fee last month of $15,000 for a planning fee. And I just couldn't understand how this was happening. And I decided I wanted to do joint work at the time. And I wanted to pair up with some of these amazing financial advisors. And we'd go out, and I took them into some of my biggest, most affluent clients. And the very first client we met with, very first week in the business, took him to my biggest client, took one of our key advisors, and he quoted him a $20,000 to $25,000 fee. And my heart about, fell out of my chest. It was amazing. And sure enough, about a week or two later, we collected a $20,000 fee check. And that client is still a client of mine today. We've done every which way of planning under the sun, and it's just been an incredible relationship. And so I just give that as kind of a taste of where how I came into the business. It didn't take very long before I started to understand that I need to know what I'm doing. And so I took the time to get those financial designations so I could know anything and everything about every area of financial planning, not just tax planning or estate planning or asset protection, insurance, everything under the sun. I needed to know it. And so I took the time, took 2 or 3 years, and got all the designations. And then for a time period, I felt like I was the smartest guy in the office. And you are once you kind of go through those things, and then your knowledge kind of dwindles over time. And so the first question I'd pose to all of you is, are you a financial advisor, an insurance agent, or an investment advisor? And if you think of yourself as a financial advisor, are you truly giving financial advice on all aspects? And if that appeals to you, then this is probably the right session to be in. So I posed a few questions, rhetorical questions. Are you there to sell something or to give advice? No one wants to be sold anything. I know when we go in to see the doctor and have a checkup, if that doctor had in his mind that I really want him to sign up for this type of, you know, procedure or treatment, or I really want to get this guy into surgery, or I want to get, you know, some blood drawn so I can make some extra money, that would drive you crazy. You really want him to listen to what your goals and objectives are, and then to find out and diagnose what the problems are. And the problem with doctors is they take on a multitude of patients, and so therefore they really can't dive deep. And hopefully you'll understand after our presentation today is to that we're going to dive deep in the client's financial picture and take on less clients. Has there been thorough planning before making recommendations? And so a comprehensive planner must consult in all areas. And so I just listed those: estate planning, retirement planning, investment planning, business succession planning, asset protection, risk management, tax planning, college planning. Sure, there's so many areas of planning. And what's interesting is when I go out and I meet with a prospective client for the first time, I'm never thinking about, gosh, I really want to know how much life insurance they own, or I really want to know how big their investment portfolio is. That's never going through my mind. When I'm getting together for a first approach with a prospective client, I'm thinking about one thing: how can I add value to this person? And because I've paid the price and gaining the education over time, when I sit down with that client and they tell me about their situation and I gather that data, there's the light bulb going off in my mind every once in a while, and I'm just jotting down notes. I see that there's an ownership problem with their life insurance, or I see that there's a beneficiary issue with their IRA, or I see that they're taking on too much liability. I'm taking these little notes. And as I gather that data, it's giving me, I'm armed with all of these tools at the end of my approach with them to disturb them on the problems that are existing in their situation. Next slide is becoming an expert in your field, and I've talked about this. Paying the price to obtain professional designations. I think our clients expect us to be professionals and to know everything about everything because they ask us about everything. And if you're guessing, you're really doing yourself a disservice, and they're going to see the lack of confidence in you. And I promise you, when you get the designations, your confidence will soar. When I got my CFP, which is probably, in my opinion, the best designation you can achieve, I was probably 25 years old at the time. And I'm telling you, when I sat down with a new prospective client, even though I felt young not very experienced, I knew I had the knowledge to help this person. And it doesn't matter if they were a 65-year-old business owner with a $10 million net worth. Those people were the people I was the most confident with because I knew the most solutions that could help that type of person. In fact, still today, the people I feel the most nervous to meet with is someone in the lower net worth market. Because the reason why is because I don't feel like I can bring that much value. The higher the net worth, my confidence goes up. I go in there with a partner, we do joint work together, and we're confident. We go in there and we know that we're going to disturb on about 10 different areas of where they have gaps and missed opportunities in their situation. And it's such an empowering feeling to sit with someone who's much older than I am, that's been tremendously successful, and point out and disturb on things that they weren't aware of. Sitting down with someone with a lower net worth is very difficult for me, and I frankly don't enjoy it that much. Invest in your business. You cannot be a comprehensive financial advisor unless you invest in technology, invest in staff, invest in your own education, and it takes a leap of faith to get that full-time assistant. It's helpful to have someone who's part-time, but with the multitude of areas that you need to be an expert in and the analysis that you need to do, is you really don't have time to be doing anything administrative whatsoever. And so moving on to this next slide that talks about 80% of our time, we should be doing these three things. Question? Yes. We have some proprietary software at Lincoln Financial Advisors, but there's nothing super expert about the technology. You can purchase technology from eMoney and other wealth platforms that are out there, But I think it's very crucial you have a good retirement modeling software where at the very beginning of your relationship with a client, once you've been hired, you sit down in front of a big screen like this and you're modeling out lives, a live session with what-if scenarios on their retirement, you know, horizon, their expenses, the inflation rates, their current assets, their income sources, and you're modeling it out live so that they can see the tweaks that you're putting in there, so they can see exactly what you're modeling in, and then they can say, well, what if inflation goes to 5%? What if my rate of return only averages 4% rather than 7%? And from doing that, you're going to gain a lot of confidence with your clients. And so, first of all, is have a good retirement planning software that you can model right in front of your clients. The second software is a comprehensive estate planning software where you can model out all of their assets, income, expenses, and then bottom line, at the end of 2012, if they were to die, here's their current estate, here's the current estate tax. If both husband and spouse or husband and wife pass away at the same time, here is the current estate tax that continues to update itself with current tax law changes, etc. Because when you're meeting with a high net worth client, you need to demonstrate that they've got a significant problem. And if you have a modeling software that shows the estate tax is modeled out 10 years plus, 20 years, and so on, they can see it at a modest 3 or 4% growth on their estate, that they have a $20 million estate now. In 20 years, they'll have a $40 million estate, and all of a sudden they got a $20 million tax problem. And that's why they need to get estate planning done now, is to get assets out of the estate, growing outside of, outside of the tax fence, and so on and so forth. Does that answer your question? You know, I'm just learning about e-money right now. I've never really had to investigate e-money completely. Yeah. Because our software's always kind of met that tool, but I know some of the advisors like Steven's been looking at it, and so. And the fee for e-money is relatively cheap when you think about the value you're going to create and all of the fees you're going to charge for the planning software you're going to be doing over time. And so I'd highly recommend doing that. So 80% of your time, when I'm in the office, I'm doing these three things. I'm seeing clients or speaking to them over the phone or emailing them or some type of communication of some sort. Number two, I'm doing case preparation. And as I mentioned before, we work in pairs. Think about the prospect. When you're meeting with a prospect, if there's two people both coming in with areas of value and saying, it looks like you haven't properly titled your home properly or the beneficiary designations, or it appears you're taking on too much risk in your investment portfolio because of these reasons, and two people are saying that, it's more confirming and easier to believe when they have two advisors. So we normally will work in teams, and there's too much to do for one person to take on, and so we split up responsibilities. And so when I talk about case preparation, my calendar's full of case preparations with different advisors in our office at different times of the day, usually 1 to 2 hour blocks where we're just focusing on that client. The phone is not ringing, by the way, and we're creating a thorough agenda of all the items that are going to be talked about, and then we're getting out all their documents, their estate planning documents, their tax returns, their investment statements, and we're building the financial models, or we're farming out that piece to our internal planning department, which we have. If you don't have a planning department, then it's something that you're going to have to take on between you and your joint partner that you're working on the case with. And so when it comes to more sophisticated estate plans and whatnot, we'll usually farm out the estate planning documents to be completely debriefed with a PowerPoint of all of the provisions and all of the flaws and the gaps, and that's a service they provide to us. We pay a fee for that to our planning department, but it's worth the fee because I don't have to spend, you know, how many hours reading 200 pages of documents. They're read for me, and I know what all the gaps are just from having them do that. But I'll usually, you know, besides the estate planning documents, I'll be the one reviewing the tax returns and their investment statements. And we also have another planning software, which I'm sure eMoney can help out on this as well, is analyzing how much risk the client is taking based on the current assets that they own in their investment plan, and showing efficient frontier modeling and Monte Carlo simulation and those types of things. And so those are good pieces to have part of the comprehensive planning process. And then third, 80% of your time is marketing, getting in front of clients, getting referrals, holding lunches, holding strategic alliance meetings. I know they're painful to do strategic alliance meetings, but I promise you, if you hammer them like you did when you were originally cold calling earlier in the business, and you keep staying in front of them, giving them ideas, being a friend to them, taking them out to lunch, and sometimes not even doing it to get business, just being their friend, the referrals will eventually come. And you need to get at least 5, maybe 10 of those types of alliances in the P&C insurance business, CPAs, any various types of attorneys, estate planning attorneys, divorce attorneys, and people that deal with malpractice and things like that. They can all make very good referrals in different manners. I'm kind of known as the guy in the office that has a system and process for everything, and I'm not very technology-based, but I've got a very good system for staying productive and making sure things get done. If you were to walk into my office, and I'm telling you I'm a comprehensive financial planner, you would think that my office would have paper everywhere and stacks of file folders and whatnot. You come into my office, and there's usually 3 pieces of paper in my entire office. Unless we're doing a case prep, we might bring in the file folder, and then as soon as the case prep is done, we're putting it back in the file. There's no paper in my office. And so ways of staying in touch with clients, I use the old one-card system, which I'm sure some of the older advisors understand. And I know it's a dumb system. I can make a little card and put a client's name on it, put their phone number, and I can put left message or call next week. It's very convenient for me, and it works. But I've also, the one card system is translated into a file system as well. So let's imagine this is an agenda for my client appointment. And I've written down all my notes of all of the things that we need to get done for the next meeting. Well, it's easy to forget those things, first of all. And it's easy to lose that piece of paper, that agenda, if you put it back in the file cabinet or it gets shuffled in under other papers on your desk. But what I do is behind my desk, I have a one-card system that's a file folder one-card system. And let me translate what that means. So I pull open the drawer, and it's got every day of the week. Well, every day of the month, 1 through 31, September through September, as far as months. And if I know that I'm not going to work on this agenda until my next case preparation, I'm going to put that agenda on September 25th, the very precise day that I plan on working on that. I slide it in there, and then I put the entire file folder that's this thick back into the client's file cabinet. So when I do case prep that very day, I know it's right there. I go grab the big file from the file cabinet, we work on it, put it back, and then we forward it back in my system on the particular day of the week that I'll be looking at that agenda again. That's a very simple system that if every financial advisor had, would be more productive, they'd make more money, and it makes it so you're less frazzled with your day. Does that make sense? Okay. Just want to make sure that it's one of my favorite things that I've helped develop. So developing systems and processes is very important. I mentioned strategic coach. Is anyone familiar with a strategic coach program? They talk about separating everything into buffer, focus, and free days. I did just 1 year, and in fact, I just really enjoyed it that first year, and I'd really like to get back into it, but haven't gone back the second year. But I've learned so many principles that have changed my life, which I love. And the principles are just put on your calendar which days are the buffer days and which days are the focus days. And if it's a buffer day, do all of your case preparation. Do all your phone calls, your emails, your follow-up, your research. You don't have to come in and put the suit on that day. You don't have to worry about making the hard phone calls or seeing clients on those days. And then have days that are focus days where you're looking nice, you're ready, it's game time, you're seeing clients, you're making those client phone calls, you're having those marketing meetings with those strategic alliances. And so every day doesn't need to be a day of anxiety that you're going to be presenting or something. And so usually Tuesday and Thursday are my focus days. I'll fill up the calendar with maybe 3 appointments a day. And I normally hold maybe 6, 7, 8 appointments a week. So fill up 3 appointments on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I might have a 1 or 2 appointments on a Wednesday. Hopefully I'll be able to take the Friday off as a free day. And free days are very important, because having a free day gives you that time to just recoup and enjoy life and enjoy the benefits of being a financial advisor. Because that's what we all wanted to join this business for, is to have extra free time. And if you don't take it, you're really losing and missing out on that opportunity. So I mentioned scheduling vacation time in advance. You can't take vacation when you have 500 to 1,000 to 1,500 clients. You can, but you have too many people to think about that could be ringing your phone, have emergencies, urgent things that you need to take care of. I'm not saying you can't take a vacation, because I know a lot of people do it, but I'm saying it's much easier to do it if you have 30 to 80 clients. My dream is to have 30 clients, but unfortunately I have about 80 to 90 clients right now. My dream is eventually to have the 30 top best clients, and I really care about all of my clients, but I want to give the best service and the most comprehensive advice, and there's only so much time in the day. You can't see a lot of people. I mean, you can't be holding 10 to 15 client appointments a week. There's just not enough time. But does anyone really like to have 10 to 15 client appointments? If you do, then congratulations. But I would rather have 6 to 8 dynamic appointments where you're adding a lot of value, you're spending a couple hours with those clients, and you're befriending them, you're having great conversations, you know everything about their family and all about their finances, and you've created a number of areas of value for them. And most of the areas of value that we create for our clients have nothing to do with compensation for us. We rarely are thinking about compensation, because we know once we take them through the process, the compensation will take care of itself. There's been a few clients here and there that you've went through the whole process and spent a lot of time and the compensation doesn't come through, but I'm telling you, those cases are few and far between. And you can make a very good living on taking on 12 to 15 great clients a year. And during difficult times, like in 2008 when it was becoming more difficult, past few years I've been taking on more like 20 clients, and they haven't been the highest net worth clients like I started in the business. I remember when I started at Lincoln and back in 2001, we were looking for clients of, you know, 5 million to 10 million and above. And we wouldn't take on anyone unless they'd pay us a $7,500 fee. And, you know, that felt good at the time, and we were successful at doing that for a few years, and then things kind of tapered off in the economy and things, and so we've kind of lowered, you know, some of those standards so we could stay in business. But we still charge a fee to all of our clients and make sure we take them through the comprehensive planning process. My average fee now is a lot lower. Back then it was about $7,500, now it's about $2,500. But you know, at the beginning of this year I charged two $10,000 fees for some larger clients. One was a 94-year-old man that's already has Alzheimer's, and so his son hired me to get the planning done. And the goal was to get $10 million out of this guy's estate during the current tax law. We were successful in doing that just a few weeks ago. We finally got all the planning done, got $10 million out of his estate using his second spouse's, he was remarried, his second spouse's lifetime exemption. We used her exemption. And everything, the full $10 million, was not going to that spouse. It was going to children. Well, as soon as it got done, he died. He died 2 or 3 weeks later. And the client was so grateful that we went through that process. I charged him a $10,000 fee, and his family is now going to inherit, you know, a few million dollars more because we did the planning together. And so I'm grateful for that opportunity. The fee is not an issue. If there's an absence of value, then the fee is an issue. So our fees are always in direct proportion to the amount of value we're creating. And we quantify that value during our approach talk. And so that's the next slide here. Any questions before I move on? Make sure so we got 30 minutes. Let's see where we're at. Okay, so please. Yeah, it's because I'm meeting with clients in the $1 to $5 million range now. And so some of those $1 million clients are just pre-retirees that are not business owners, and they usually will have a lower fee. But when I meet with business owners and they have a lot of problems, the fee is always $2,500, somewhere up to $10,000, depending on their net worth and size and the amount of value. No, this is what it should be. This is the way I like it. So, yeah. Oh.
Are there many people that say, hey, that sounds really high?
Yeah.
Or anything along those lines?
You would think that. I mean, I remember before I went to my firm, I thought there's going to be a ton of pushback. But I can promise you this, if you have a great approach talk where you're learning and understanding things from the client, and you have a great education and a mind for where the gaps are, and you learn how to disturb that client properly and magnify those problems and get them to take ownership of those problems, and they see that you're not there to sell them anything. You've only been talking about how to better themselves and better and protect their assets for their family and for their spouse and for their children. When you do that, when you go through that process and you quote a $5,000 fee, and they can see they're going to save that just in the income tax savings alone, let alone the other 10 ideas that you shared with them that would protect their estate from estate taxes, protect their assets, create a retirement plan that's going to help them succeed for a lifetime, the fee is not an issue. And I'm telling you, that's 90% of the time, the fee is not an issue. There was a client this year that was a pre-retiree, quoted them a very small fee. They didn't see the value. And like I said, I just don't feel the confidence in front of the smaller clients because I can only add this much value, whereas the larger the client they are, the more value I can provide. And so I didn't get hired on that one. And I said, so what? It's not a big deal. It was a small fee. It was a small case. And I really need to be upgrading my market anyway. So, yeah. Yeah. It's quite a lot.
Is that included?
Yes. The fee is a comprehensive planning fee, which we produce the plan, and then we commit to do a year's worth of service for that fee. And it, as long as it will take. And we know how long it's going to take because we've done it many times.
Right.
And sometimes it takes longer than others. I mean, I'm telling you, the one that was the two $10,000 fees earlier this year, have I made a ton of money on those? I've spent a lot of time. But like I said, that guy just died, and so the assets will be flowing in. And so there's tremendous opportunity now. So sometimes you got to pay a little price on the front end to have a lot of opportunity on the back end. And so we have this process. We become educated with the designations and the study and whatnot. But then the next is to become an expert on how to get hired and how to do the comprehensive planning process. I'm not trying to do a Lincoln commercial by any means, but I'm saying you need to learn your approach talk. That is your initial meeting with your client. What are you going to say in your preamble? That's your opening statement where you talk about how you work on a confidential basis and you work with successful business owners like themselves and they've already done a certain level of planning and you're there to help them take it to the next level. What is your preamble? And then diving into the data. That's where you gather all their information on the 6 blocks of property, their real estate, their business, their qualified plans, their savings and investments, personal property and life insurance. You need to know what those assets are, how much they're worth, is there any debt outstanding, how it's owned, who is the beneficiary, and then by getting that information, you can dive deeper on the business. Are you a C or an S corporation? Do you have a buy-sell agreement? Tell me about the plan you have in place if, you know, your partner passes away. We've got to all memorize. We've all role-played hundreds and hundreds of times over the years that we know this stuff pat. And so when we get in front of a client, it's just like, old times. It's like we're in the role-play meeting, and we try to create that value, and we try to overcome the objections. And so role-playing is one, something I want to hammer on, is find someone to role-play with and develop the script that you're going to follow, and try to figure out how to create those areas of value. And then once you've gathered that data, that's when you start diving into what we call the disturbing tracks or your bridges. Disturbing tracks is where it's all of these things. It could be an estate planning, the business side, the investments, or the financial independence. We have a different bridge, a script of how to disturb a client on every single area. And I'm telling you, everyone's got problems, and it's not hard to find gaps in someone's situation. And if you can point those out and get them to own it and to repeat back to you what their problem is, and then you can magnify that problem and then close and say, maybe this is a basis for working together. And it's on a subject that makes you no money. That, in a client's mind, tells them something. This guy cares about me, he knows what he's doing, and he's trying to find the gaps. People don't want gaps in their situation. And when they gain that respect for you, and you've shown them how to save hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars over time through all of these different strategies and protecting and preserving their assets, the fee will not be an issue. All right, let's see. So at the end, we talk about how we're paid, because the client's wondering at that point. They're saying, gosh, they're creating all these areas of value, but they haven't even talked about selling me life insurance or taking over my investments. They're thinking in their mind, how does this guy get paid? So we always close by talking about the three ways we're paid. We charge a fee for our services, and then we tell them all about it, what that encompasses. We receive commissions if you do choose to implement any products. But keep in mind, you are not obligated to purchase anything with us. We're here as a consultant, and we're here to add value to your situation. That takes the pressure off of the client. They're thinking, wow, he's going to create all this value, and all I need to do is pay him a fee. He's not going to just shove this down my throat. And then we always ask them, at the end of our process, if we've added value, we'd hope that you would introduce us to others that we can also add value to as well. And then we get them to agree to do it, you know, that's the way we're paid. And then we close by saying, is there anything else you need to understand about ourselves or our work or our company or our process before making this decision? And if they say, well, I need to talk to my wife and whatnot, okay, after you talk to your wife, if everything's good, we'd like to meet in the next 2 weeks and get back on your calendar to do a data gathering session. And from that point on, we go into the data gathering session, and we gather more data. We get all of their tax returns for the previous 2 years for business and personal. We get their estate planning documents. We get all of their investment statements, all of their insurance policies. We make a copy of everything because we're going to analyze everything. And it takes a lot of work. And it's not all fun, but it's the proper process of doing high end planning for the affluent. So we've talked a lot about fees. Let's see. I like this point where in the middle where it says the nice thing about doing planning with a client is you're not telling them to write you the big check at the very beginning. You're not saying, yeah, turn over your $1 million portfolio to me, and I've only met with you twice. They don't know who you are. They don't know the slightest thing about you after two meetings. But I'm telling you, after you've taken them through a process where you've been through eight meetings together and you've spent 2 hours every meeting and you know everything about their situation and they know you care about them more than anything in the world, and at the very end, you've presented some investment solutions that are going to help them to get from point A to point B, I'm telling you, 80 to 90% of the time, they will always implement those investments and those insurance recommendations. And that's how we stay in the business. It's not from our fees. The fees barely pay the bills for our assistants and our office and those types of things. We close a lot of business. We close larger cases and fewer cases. And we like it that way. It's less paperwork. Taking on a limited number of clients. We all want to live healthy, and so anxiety is always a challenge when you're seeing 10 to 15 appointments a week. You're always seeking referrals. You're always wondering where that next client's going to come from. When you're taking on 12 to 15, maybe 20 clients a year, it's not hard to find that many clients. But what is the price that needs to be paid to be able to be a comprehensive planner? It's those first two things I talked about, gaining the education and practicing until you're a pro. if I were an actor and I was going up on stage or if I was in a movie, I need to know my script word for word, and it needs to be believable. If you can get your approach talk so it's believable and they know what you're talking about and you know how to disturb and create value and then quote that fee, it's just like the actor on the stage. It's believable and they will pay that fee. It helps you so you don't neglect the majority of your clients, the less clients you have. You're adding more value. You're feeling more confidence in the things that you're doing for your clients. You're not just feeling like you're just selling widgets or whatever the product is. You're doing a lot of things to help them. And we just talked about, you know, taking on the 30-day to clients. We've talked about that. So you need to decide on a target market. Obviously, you know, chasing guys just out of high school and just getting into college is not gonna work for this. And so you need to pick an area. And if I were to recommend an area, I'd choose the business owner market, because business owners that are successful, there's a lot of baby boomers that are in their 50s and 60s, and they've never been through the comprehensive planning process. But I'm telling you, they've been called by every insurance agent, every investment advisor to try to get those assets. But if you can get a good introduction from a current client to them, and you have a different process, and they've never sat down with someone like you that has helped them truly understand where the gaps are, it will be so refreshing to them, and they're going to shake your hand at the end of the meeting and look you in the eye and think, this is my guy. This is my guy. And it's so refreshing to go meet with people, because they always say, oh, I've heard this spiel. I've heard it a million times. I say, give me a chance. Let's just meet, and you'll see that we're different. And that's because we are. You know, if you've got a practice that's thriving already, you might have several hundred clients. And so that's the big hard transition, is how can I transition to a comprehensive planning practice? Well, we all know the 80-20 rule. Take your best 20% clients and start out slow. Take the 80% of your clients and pair them off to a junior advisor that can do the planning work for those people. And I promise you, your relationships are good with those people, but they'll make it without you. And you'll still make 50% of the compensation from those clients. And then with your top 20% of your clients, start taking them through the comprehensive planning process. Let them know that I'm changing the way I do business. I'm not going to be taking on 100 clients a year. I'm going to be taking on just a limited number of clients a year. And I'm doing comprehensive planning work from A to Z. And I'd really like you to come in for our next review. And I'd like you to bring in all of these documents. We're going to assess all of them. We're going to do some retirement planning and estate planning. We're going to get together with attorneys, get everything done, and charge a modest fee. Get used to charging fees. Don't start out with the several thousand-dollar fee right out of the gate. And then over the course of years, you'll start, you know, taking on every client as a fee-based comprehensive planning client, and then you'll have fewer clients. And so giving up your lower clients that are only giving you maybe $100 a year of compensation, giving that person up to someone that's going to make $50 and you're going to make $50, that's not a problem. You're going to make a lot more money by doing this process that we've talked about. So we talked about, these are all the things that we analyze. I don't think I've talked about the property and casualty area. That's another area. Even if I don't analyze it myself, I'll farm it out to a property and casualty insurance agent that I have a relationship, who's one of my strategic alliances, and I'm bringing him some business, him or her, and saying, I'd like you to analyze this and find out where all the gaps are. And then I'd like you to email me all of the gaps and missed opportunities, and then you'll present that as part of your written plan. And if they say, well, how do I get this done? Well, then you can refer them to their current PNC agent or to the agent that you have the relationship with. And so you're adding more value in the community, because you're giving referrals to attorneys and CPAs and PNC agents that also need business. So I'm telling you, especially our attorneys, they love us, because every client they get business from, because we're introducing them. Including us too, me and my partner.
So you're saying that they're the internal people, they're not your outside attorneys, right?
So yeah, that there are internal people there. They'll be the ones that are reviewing the trust documents and the buy sell agreements and whatnot. But if you don't have, that's a great idea. If you don't have a planning department, why not send over the trusts over to an attorney? And it may not be the biggest attorney in town. He's not going to take the time to do that. But develop a relationship with a competent attorney that's younger, that's hungry, and say, I'd like you to read this over and find out where the gaps are, and let's see if I can get them in front of you. They might go for something like that. But we negotiate.